para curar el corazón, a la mente dejarle fluir, para el espíritu elevar y dejarlo llegar al fin. Yo no nací sin causa.
Hola, bienvenidos a nuestro fourth season of our bilingual podcast, ¿Qué pasa Midwest?
¿Qué pasa Midwest?
¿Qué pasa Midwest?
¿Qué pasa Midwest?
Telling the stories of Latinos from the homeland to the heartland. This season, we're staying on top of two major topics happening this and the next year, the census and the 2020 elections. Por si no lo sabías, este año, the debate of the citizenship question being on the census form filled our news feeds. Escuchamos que era algo bueno porque it would have given us an accurate count of Hispanos and Latinos that needed help with things like legal aid or language assistance. Others thought this could put a target on the undocumented population and made them nervous.
Yo pienso que no debían de hacer eso. ¿Y sabe? Porque yo estoy de acuerdo con muchos que dicen que la gente debe de venir así legal, pero es que no entienden que hay mucha gente que pues no tienen tiempo de esperar para el proceso y eso, están en peligro en sus países. Y pues uno sabe que aquí hay mucha gente que no es ciudadana y poniéndolos en expuestos así, es feo porque yo pienso que la gente sabe y haciendo eso es como discriminando, ¿sí sabe?
That was Ariana. I interviewed her in Kansas last year at a Cinco de Mayo parade, cuando el tema de la ciudadanía todavía era una posibilidad en el censo. Ariana's father migrated to the U.S. when she was just 4. Now 29 and a mother of 4, she worried that the citizenship question on the census form would make people like her a target for hate groups or ICE. This year, the citizenship question was ruled out of the census form, putting some people at ease. Pero los debates no terminan ahí. In the coming months, we'll start seeing more of the 2020 elections, and working along with collaborators and national resources, we plan on giving you all the information we can so you can make an informed decision cuando salgas a votar. But first, let me fill you in on the census. It's my first time filling el censo, y quiero saber qué es, cómo funciona, and why is it important to fill it out. Primero escuchamos from Kelly Kors, director of the Evansville, Indiana Department of Metropolitan Development. Kors helps the city distribute millions of dollars to various programs. Por ejemplo, programs that help low-income and homeless populations, childcare, and housing aid.
So one of the other really important factors to remember, we get about $3 million a year in federal assistance. My department, Metro Development, we administer about $2.2 million in community development block grant funds that go for programs like Memorial Community Development Corporation's daycare, their second shift daycare, their weekend child care. This year we're brand new. We're funding a program busting the school to prison pipeline. All of those things are based on the census results. So if your city's population of people living at 80% area median income and below falls because of being unreported, the Housing and Urban Development doesn't know you're here. Where the need is absolutely great here, it's just people haven't responded to the census that need to.
To ensure everyone gets counted, Kors was appointed by the city of Evansville to create a committee that involves leaders and people in the community in direct contact with vulnerable and historically undercounted populations, like homeless and people in transitional housing. Para ayudar a contar las poblaciones que usualmente no responden al censo, Kors contrató una firma que irá de puerta a puerta a los lugares donde esas poblaciones se encuentran. According to Kors, the undercounted populations usually live in high poverty areas.
And if you overlay the census tracts that are high minority, that are high percentages of low to moderate income, that are high percentages of poverty, that are high percentages of vacancy and abandonment in housing, and you overlay those on the Roma map, you can see the areas of the undercount are directly overlaid with those census tracts.
When talking to Kors, he pointed out an interesting fact about the census count, citizenship, and the Constitution.
You know, the Constitution of the United States says that this country will be counted every 10 years. There will be a count. But it says the number of people, not the number of citizens.
In 2010, only 3.3% of the Evansville population were counted as Latinos. And later on a 2016 count, the number was the same. Con estos números, we can suspect the Latino population is not answering the census or other government questionnaires. Coors says it's the distrust of the people in the government. But Coors wants to assure people their identities are secure.
By federal law, individual census documents are sealed for 72 years. Not even the FBI or Homeland Security, no one can access my census response form.
Un poco de historia. The last time a citizenship question was among the census questions for all U.S. households was in 1950. Ese formulario preguntaba el lugar de nacimiento and in a follow-up question asked, if foreign-born, is he naturalized? In 1960, there was no such question about citizenship, only about the place of birth. A couple of things to remember. Census Day is April 1st. By this day, every household in El País will receive an invitation to complete the census forms. You can respond by mail, por teléfono, o en línea. By May, the census sends representatives to visit homes, and by March 31st of 2021, the census sends redistricting counts to states. This information is used to redraw legislative districts basado en cambios en la población. Now this is where things come together. Redistricting affects the quality of your representation y las pólizas que pasan a ser ley, which political party is likely to win your district and which party is likely to win control of your state legislature is affected by district boundaries y este proceso puede ser manipulado o como lo llaman, gerrymandering. So all this to say, you filling out the census forms has a direct impact on politics. This season, we'll cover the census and the beginning of the elections because your count and your vote matter. If you think it's complicado, it's not.
So one of the questions will be how many people are living in the home. We'll ask about ages for each person in the home. And that's important information. That type of demographic information helps federal government and state governments and local governments determine how to use resources. So those are the types of questions. It's a very simple form. There are 10 questions on the form. It's not intrusive and won't take long to complete.
That was Tim Swarns, the media specialist with the U.S. Census Bureau, explaining to us that for the first time ever, the census will be available online. Las personas podrán responder al censo in 13 different languages, aside from previously available languages, English, Chinese, Korean, Russian, Spanish, and Vietnamese. Quédate con nosotros y escucha las historias que traemos this season. It's all about the census and 2020 elections. You'll also notice how the music in this season directly talks about politics and freedom. Para nosotros, la música es sumamente importante, a way to express how we feel about many things. The song for this episode is titulado Derecho de Nacimiento by Natalia Lafourcade. And for our English-only speakers, this song talks about how we weren't born without a cause or without faith, reclaiming the freedom of thought and demanding that they don't strip the poor of what cost them so much to build. I'm Paola Marisan, and this is ¿Qué pasa Midwest?
¿Qué pasa Midwest?
¿Qué pasa Midwest?
¿Qué pasa Midwest?
Telling the stories of Latinos from the homeland to the heartland.